This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half.
Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. Hello, and welcome to Happier, a podcast about how to build happier habits into your daily life. This week, it's our anniversary show, our first anniversary. Very exciting. So today, we're going to talk about some of the try this at homes that have proved the most popular with listeners, and also hear some before and after stories. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. I'm in New York City, and with me is my sister, and for the past year, my co-host, Elizabeth Kraft.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in L.A. And Gretch, I have to say, it's a little bit funny that today on our anniversary episode, we're having technical difficulties. It's always usually gone very smoothly, but today the app we use to connect the two of us is having issues. So hopefully no one will even notice.
Yeah.
But if it sounds different, that's why. But we will soldier on.
Technology is great when it works and then not when it doesn't.
Exactly.
But it's our anniversary. It's so exciting. Now, arguably, episode 52 could have been our anniversary show, but we decided to opt for the calendar year anniversary. Now, Elizabeth, did you go back to listen to our first episode?
You know what? I did because I wanted to see. I thought maybe it would be like super bad, like just horrible. And I have to say, it wasn't bad at all. I thought it was pretty darn good. I was happy. I didn't think it was too humiliating.
No, I thought it was great. I went back and listened. It's at happiercast.com/1 if anybody else wants to go back and listen. I thought it sounded really good. I was excited. And I remember it made me cast my mind back to, like, remember when we picked the music? Like listening to...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Listening to all those different clips. Absolutely.
And they all had such funny names.
Yeah. And then I remember when they sent us the you know, sort of initial episode to say, okay, here's, you know, how it sounds. What do you think? I remember neither of us wanted to listen to it.
I was dreading it. I remember having to... You listened to it first, I think, and you were like, okay, it's okay.
Yeah. I remember I listened to it on a hike. I was hiking in Fryman Canyon, as I've spoken of here. And I said, okay, let me listen to this while I hike. And I was pleasantly surprised that I thought we, you know, came off okay.
Yeah, and I remember coming into the studio for the first time and walking. I remember meeting Henry for the first time. He was walking down the hallway holding his laptop.
Aww.
And I was like, I didn't even know. I was like, I don't know what these roles are. I don't know what these words mean. But you seem to be important to me. I'm going to follow you like a little duckling down the hallway. But do you remember when I called you, what I said to you, I have good news and bad news.
Oh, yeah. I remember exactly. I was in my office you left me a message you texted me. And I said to Sarah, I'm like, I have to call my sister back and see what she wants. Like, something's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And the good news was we could do this podcast. And the bad news was it was going to be a lot of extra work for you when you were already swamped.
Yeah.
So let's listen to a clip from that very first show. You know, you'd think that just like the average person would not have to make a big effort not to email while talking on the phone to the love of her life. And yet this is something that I really have to make a special effort. Like, do not email while I'm talking on the phone to Jamie. And, the other day I was just You know, it was all, I'm sure, you know, when there's that pause before somebody answers, because you know that they're like trying to like slightly rewinding it in their brain. And I'm, you know, and then he started answering his email. I could hear him clattering away. So there we were, both totally ignoring each other, clattering away on our keyboards. And it wasn't like a companionable, nice, like, let's sit here together and answer our emails together. It's just like,
you were both sneaking it.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, it was just so rude. I was like, okay, but we'll do better next time.
And I have to ask you though, I can't help myself. Are you emailing people when I'm talking to you on the phone?
No, with you never.
I would never do it to you either. Ever.
Never.
When I ask you to repeat what you just said, it's because I really want to think it over, not because I wasn't listening.
So, Gretch, I have to ask, are you still emailing when you talk to Jamie on the phone?
I think I'm doing a better job of it now, I have to say. My whole thing is that I try to stand up when I'm on the phone, and it's harder to email when you're standing up. So,
That's great. All right. Well, good for you.
Well, one of the things that's been the most interesting for us, I think, Elizabeth, is to see which of the Try This at Homes have hit home the most, that people seem to respond to the most and that we hear about the most. And so let's go back and talk about some of our most popular Try This at Homes.
Yeah, I think the 1 minute rule, which again, we did in our very first episode, people still email us about.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a great one. That's the rule of anything you can do in 1 minute, do it. So like putting dishes in the dishwasher, hanging up a coat, putting away your shoes, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, answering an email that only takes one word, printing out a document and putting it and filing it, reading something and throwing it away. It just gets rid of the scum of tasks on the surface of life. And as we've talked about a lot, Elizabeth, sometimes the little things prevent you from doing bigger things. And when you have all these little tasks to do, it makes you feel like you can't handle something big. And so getting rid of the little things makes it easier to do the big things.
Yeah, so that's a popular one. The one that's probably, I can almost hit home, I think, emotionally the most with people is our updates.
Yes, and this was funny because it came out of something in our own life where it was a suggestion from our mother that we email each other more frequently with just updates, because she was saying when you don't talk to people often, you don't have as much to say. But when you're in frequent contact, then you have a lot to say. So now we have this update where every few days you just sort of send an update about all the stuff, that the boring little trivia that's going on in life. And it has been made a huge difference in our family, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. I feel like we're much more connected. We really know what's going on with people. Even just, I had lunch with so-and-so, or, you know, just the little things. And what's great about it is there's no expectation of response.
Yes.
So it's not like you get an update and then it's like, I have to respond to everything in this email. It's just you can read it and you can respond to something if you want, or you can just write your own update that doesn't even mention what anyone else is doing.
Yeah.
I think it's great. And we've heard from so many people who've implemented it in their family, and they say it's working great too.
Well, and it's what's been interesting too is that people use different ways of doing it depending on their family. So our family always uses email because that's sort of our preferable way. But we've heard of people who do group texts. Wasn't there that family that did Instagram because they were all very visual, or was it Pinterest?
Yes.
Anyway, they used
Instagram, and then there was another family who was doing like voice memos where they're sending each other voicemails.
Yeah, they were using the app Roll Tape to do that. But also people seem focused on like trying to understand the rules of it. Maybe it's kind of the upholders out there.
Yeah.
Where it's like, how often do you do it? And like, and it's sort of like, well, whatever works for you. There's no right way or wrong way. It's just this idea that constant low level, low stress communication is helpful. However, it would come most naturally to the people that you're wanting to stay in touch with. Yeah, and it's okay to be boring.
Yeah, right. That's the only rule. It's okay to be boring.
Yes, I just wrote an update.
As we often are.
Yeah, I wrote an update about how Barnaby has a double ear infection.
Yeah.
Not exactly.
But I'm interested in that.
Because you're such a nice sister.
Yeah.
Well, another one that seemed to really hit home is Power Hour.
Yes.
Which is a rhyming Try This at Home. That was episode 6. Update was episode 2, by the way. I'll have all the links in the show notes, happiercast.com/, you know, whatever number. And Power Hour is the idea that once a week for an hour, I set aside to do all the little tasks that I've been procrastinating about for weeks, months, perhaps years. And the idea that you can just do anything for an hour. And if you have an hour that's sort of set aside for those really annoying tasks, it's easier to get them done.
Yeah, it's funny. This is one, Gretch, I have to say that I thought was an awesome try this at home, and I was like sort of implemented and then I fell off. So I'm glad we're talking about this because I think I need to restart my power hour every week. So I'm glad we're having this refresher on it.
But, you know, a couple of listeners emailed and said that they were doing it with their spouse. And I think that's actually better. Like, Jamie would never
yes.
do this. But if Jamie would do power hour with me, I bet like the duvet cover thing problem that I
right.
talked about, we would have just said, okay, yes. let's do that for power hour. And it would have felt like, okay, well, that's just the task that we've designated. I would really, I wish that I could do that because I think that would be we have like maybe 70, 75 light bulbs that we need to replace in our house. If we were like, uh-huh. let's do this together as power hour, it would be done in a more effective way, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if Adam will do. I'll ask Adam if he wants to do power hour. He might. I could see him going for that.
Yeah, well, and then I'll have him talk to Jamie.
Okay. And then a lot of the photo-related try this at
yes.
home, people enjoy. Like take photos of everyday life. I think that was episode 24. And we've talked a lot about photos. People have given us great photo saving advice, how to save those photos, which you and I can have issues with. Still haven't backed those up, by the way. even though people have sent me, I've probably gotten 35 emails being like, okay, do this. Totally so sweet, like exactly written out. But what happens, I've noticed, is I just shut down when I see anything about like pressing buttons. So I like see the email and I'm like, oh, I'm going to read this very carefully later and do it. And I have like 30 of those. So thank you to everyone who sent me those. And I need to get on it. That'd be a power hour activity. That'd be a good power hour activity.
Yeah, but what I appreciate is that the listeners are totally communicating at our level. Like,
no, completely.
It'll be like,
they're like,
this
okay,
will
look at your phone. Do you see this? It's so sweet.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. But, you know, try this at home. That is, I think, is a great example of something that is so easy and so obvious and so minimal. And yet for a lot of people, it turns out to be kind of this revolution in their daily habits, is this idea that you should have an alarm go off to signal your bedtime. Just like you have an alarm to tell you to wake up, you have an alarm to tell you to remind you to go to sleep, or even like a snooze alarm where it goes off at, you know, 15 minutes before. So it's like, hey, it's almost your bedtime. And then and I've been amazed at how many people have said that this has really helped them get enough sleep, which is really such an important habit. It's a habit that people want, and it's also a foundation habit, strategy of foundation. It's one of the habits that makes it easier to follow other habits. So it's kind of a more high priority habit. And this is a pretty simple, you know, you don't have to take a lot of time, energy, or money to just, you know, set your phone to go off at a certain time.
Yeah, I love that one. And I was doing that for a long time. Then I felt like I didn't need it anymore, but I'm actually creeping back up on the bedtime. So that's when I should reinstitute and get back to my 11 p.m. bedtime.
And why did you stop setting the alarm?
Because I think I turned it off maybe for some reason, I don't remember. And then it was like, well, I'm going to bed anyway, so I don't need it. Because mm-hmm. I was really consistently going to bed at 11, which is when I want to go to bed. But now, as you know, weeks and months go by, it's gone back up now to like at least midnight. So I should, I need to get back. I need to reset my alarm.
Now, one of the ones that I think was like kind of a transcendent try this at home that people really responded to, because, one is like the little things like setting the alarm. But this was a bigger thing, which was our try this at home around the new year, which was to pick a one word theme or one phrase for the year. That was episode 26.
Let's listen, Gretch, let's listen to what we said our one word themes were going to be.
So listen, what are you going to pick?
Okay, it's a one word this time, and it's novel.
Ooh.
Now, novel could mean, you know, new things, but in my case, I'm actually referring to a novel. As I've mentioned before, I have a young adult book that I want to write that I've actually started, but I just stalled out on it. And so my theme for this year is novel. And I want, by the end of the school year, I want to have a draft of my novel.
Okay. Well, that's very specific.
I know. And I know I decided I needed to get specific. and being an obliger, I am thinking I should use this podcast like as my accountability partner, or I should say the listeners of this podcast and you, so that I feel pressure to actually do it.
So we're going to check in with you and see if you're actually making progress, because an accountability partner only works if there's accountability. Now, but let me ask you, do you feel like the listeners knowing what you're doing is going to be enough accountability to make you feel that need to meet the external expectation that obligers need? Is that going to be enough?
I think if we bring it up on the show, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to hold you to that.
And what about you?
So my word is vision.
Ah, that's a good word.
Yeah, and because I really need to have a vision of sort of where I'm going with my work. Right now I'm writing a book about the four tendencies, sort of a shorter book that's just going to go really deep into the four tendencies, like you're an obliger, what does that mean? Like, and that's super fun. I'm working on that right now. But I don't know what my next big project is going to be. Mm. And that's kind of a restless, unsettled feeling for me, because once I have my big project, then kind of everything in my life makes sense and I go to a new part of the library and I'm all excited. But I don't have that feeling yet. And I don't know whether I want to write a book that's kind of sort of along the lines of my last several books that has a lot of kind of thoughts and research about how to live a happier, better, more productive life. Or do I want to write something that's much more essayistic, that's just sort of like my deep thoughts, capital D, capital T, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of standing where the brook and river meet and waiting for the lightning bolt that's going to tell me which direction to go in. So I'm waiting for my vision.
So mine was novel, and oh my gosh, Gretch, I have just not at all followed through. My novel like crashed and burned and is like in the ashes.
Yeah, but I would say on your side of things that maybe it was just unrealistic to think that you could do it while you have a full-time writing position.
Yeah.
And maybe what you need to do is think about how when you, because you do have, the, I mean, part of the, you have a challenging situation from a habit-forming perspective in that you have these massive transitions that you're dealing with at least once or twice a year with your job. And so it's hard to like fall into a pattern because it's very soon disrupted, or like you find, and then you had a son go to school. And so that was like, and you thought you were going to have this pocket of time, but then it turned out that it didn't really exist. So maybe you need to think about making better use of when you're in between projects and you're, and
yeah, you're right. When I'm off, I'm on hiatus. That's when I really need to have a routine and get stuff done.
Because it's just, when you have a full-time writing job, it's just hard to be doing that extra. You just don't have that time available. You know, you can't make extra time if you're trying to get enough sleep and spend time with your family. I mean, there is a limit.
Yeah. So that's my word for the year. I'll just have to use it now as novel, like new things. And I have had plenty of new things. So, so I'll just cling to that. And what about you? How's your vision? Do you have your vision?
Well, I had a vision in a way, because I had been wanting to write this little kind of pamphlet about the four tendencies, which has now exploded into a giant tome.
I know.
About the four tendencies, because the more I got into it, the bigger and bigger and bigger it got. And I sort of started seeing these giant patterns that somehow I just hadn't seen before. And so in a way, I had thought I would get kind of a new vision, but I guess what I got was a deeper vision. And so I'm kind of trying to figure out how that's all going to play out. And then I have some little side projects, which I think are going to be fun. And the nice thing about little projects is sometimes they turn into something bigger. And so it's good to have these things. So I feel like I'm doing an okay job with vision. I still don't feel like I have this overarching driving sense of where my life is going, but maybe that was unrealistic to think that I could have that.
Well, I have to say, only you would like set out to, you know, to write a little pamphlet and then accidentally write a whole book. You know, just it just happened. I just wrote, ended up writing a big book.
I mean, I looked down at the word count because I was going, and it's 100,000 words. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Only you.
How did that happen? Yeah, well. Okay, well, maybe at the end of the year, we'll check in and see what happened with how those one word themes went. It's a good try this at home. Whether or not it exactly works out the way you want, it's thought provoking.
Yeah, I'd love to hear how other people's one word themes are going. If anyone feels
or
like
phrase, many
us
people
know.
Are like, but mine is a phrase. Yes, or phrase.
Yes, a phrase is fine too.
We all know that our life and our health can be improved when we eat nourishing, healthy meals, but it can be hard to maintain. With Sunbasket Meal Kits, it's easy because they take care of the details. Sunbasket offers 18 chef-crafted, dietitian-approved recipes each week with options like Mediterranean, carb-conscious, vegetarian, and keto-friendly. The recipes are quick and easy to follow, and you can enjoy a meal full of organic produce and clean ingredients that's ready in 30 minutes or less.
Try mouthwatering Sunbasket dishes like salmon burgers with lemon dill mayo and seared squash, or steaks with chimichurri and harissa roasted sweet potatoes. My son Jack loves salmon, and he loves Sunbasket salmon burgers. Go to sunbasket.com/happier today to get $45 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/happier to get $45 off your first box plus free shipping.
All right, well, Gretchen, our listeners are so great about letting us know what works for them in the show and, you know, what they've been doing in their lives. So let's hear from some of them. First, we've got Jill from Asheville, North Carolina.
Hey, ladies. Happy anniversary. And I'm calling in response to your wanting to know what we've changed, some habits we've done, and how that has impacted our lives. And I am an obliger, and I'm a mix of abstainer and moderator. But what I got rid of a year ago was my television. And Elizabeth, I'm right there with you. I love reality TV, but it was absolutely just, I couldn't stop myself. So part of the reason is we got rid of our TV 1 year ago. And since then, I have since pretty much not watched any more Housewives or HGTV and all that. But also I'm getting more sleep, which I know you guys talk a lot about. I'm getting more sleep. I go to bed at 9 o'clock at night. I get up 4:30 in the morning. I'm writing. I'm being more productive. So I have abstained from television, which I love, but it has helped me to make a bigger impact myself just through my writing and that kind of thing. So just want to pass that along. Love your podcast. Happy anniversary, and y'all have a great day. Bye.
Well, this is great because she talks about first being an abstainer versus a moderator, that abstaining is working for her, which is something a lot of people have to abstain from is technology, and also that she's an obliger. And so she was able to figure out using her abstainer nature and her obliger nature how she wants to go about doing this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so impressed that she got rid of her TV. I'm telling you right now, I will never do that. But I admire others who do, because it sounds like it's really helping her. And I'll say if she wants to know what's up in the Housewives world, she can always listen to podcasts about it.
Yes, perfect. That's a great solution. And then Jacqueline in New Jersey had an interesting story.
Hi, this is Jacqueline in New Jersey. I actually use the power of the person you envy, and the person that I envy is, in fact, Gretchen. I have always thought that academia was my path, and then I realized that the more that I listened to Happier, the more overcome with envy I became. And so I actually sat down with my journal, which is also something I picked up from the Happier podcast, is monitoring and all of that, and wrote down everything that I wanted to incorporate into my life. And it turned out that basically I want my life to look like yours. So I'm starting to take steps. I don't mean to be creepy about that. I'm starting to take steps to adjust my career path to better reflect what I would like, how I would like to be spending my time. I'm actually starting to write a book, getting a website and possibly a podcast and a blog and all of these sorts of things up and running. Wish me luck, and thank you so much for the inspiration.
Gretch, she envies you.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, no, and it's not creepy, as she says. No, it's fantastic, and it's great to hear that someone was able to use the uncomfortable emotion of envy to figure out how they wanted to make changes in their life. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. I've forgotten about that, and I think that's kind of a profound idea.
Yeah, this was this idea of know yourself better by asking, whom do you envy, which we talked about in episode 6. And so I know from my own experience how difficult it is to leave one path for another, and especially something like academia, like Jacqueline's doing, or like law, what I was doing, where it's very clear what you're supposed to be doing,
yeah,
to do something that's more open-ended, like writing. And so it's great to hear that that she's embarking on that change, and I wish her all the best. It's really exciting.
Yeah. Good luck, Jacqueline. And then, Gretch, we've got Danielle in North Carolina, who is a questioner.
Hey, Gretchen and Elizabeth. Love the podcast, so thank you both. My biggest takeaway has been learning that I'm a questioner. It has been so valuable to me. At work, I'm about 10 years younger than my colleagues, and it took my boss until my yearly performance review to tell me that in asking so many questions, it sounded like I was undermining authority. I had no intention of sounding overly critical or anything. So needless to say, I now more clearly frame my questions as coming from a place of curiosity and a desire to more fully understand the why behind things. I think I add the most value, but by knowing the four tendencies framework, I was really able to find a quick fix to the issue. So thank you.
Now, this is my fantasy about the four tendencies, is that when people know their tendencies, they can understand themselves better and they can understand other people better. And so that people can work together more harmoniously and more effectively and with less kind of anger and resentment, because we just understand each other's perspectives better. So I was so thrilled to hear about this. And if people want to learn more about, we talk about the tendencies all the time, but if
yes,
you want to,
we do.
If you want to read about it more or take the quiz to find out what your tendency is, it's at happiercast.com/quiz. But this is fantastic to hear that, when you understand how to present your ideas in a way so that others can be more receptive to them, then everybody just gets along better. So Elizabeth, how about your before and after? What strikes you the most in your experience?
Well, you know, what's interesting is actually for me, I think the process of doing the a gold star or demerit every week is sort of my before and after, because I feel like before we started the podcast, I didn't think about gold stars or demerits. I was just sort of going through life and not really contemplating these little moments.
Yeah.
And I think that now that I am constantly, like, if something great happens, someone says something great or does something, I'm like, ooh, that's a great gold star. Or if I'm going through life and I do something that makes me unhappy or others unhappy, I'm like, ooh, that's a happiness demerit. And I kind of instantly notice it. So I think that's made a big difference in my behavior. It's like made me live in a sort of more grateful state, and I think hopefully correct my behavior more quickly.
It's kind of a mindfulness exercise.
Yeah. Right. Yes. It's made me more mindful, and that's always a good thing.
Absolutely.
So thanks to you for that, because if it weren't for us doing this, I wouldn't be living in my more mindful state. Now, how about you? What's a before and after for you?
So you have this high-minded one that's all about, the mindfulness and gratitude. And mine is about hard-boiled eggs.
Oh, my God.
So in episode 34, as you may recall, you talked about how you were eating hard-boiled eggs more.
Yes.
And then we heard from a listener who's like, oh, I use the Krupp's hard-boiled egg maker, and it makes it really easy to make hard-boiled eggs. So I was like, that sounds good. So I now make just giant heaps of hard-boiled eggs every day. For Christmas and for my Christmas stocking, Mom got me one of those egg slicers, the thing that
yes,
the harp.
Yes.
And
yes.
I can't even tell you how many eggs I eat. And I love it. I have scrambled eggs, I have hard-boiled eggs. And it's easy. It's healthy. My children eat them. They're like, they're always in the fridge. I love them when they're warm. So sometimes I make them and then eat them warm. And it's just this little thing that is, it's just something that really has
enhanced
your
daily life.
Yeah. And if
by the way, I feel like every time I talk to Dad on the phone, he's using that Krupp's egg maker boiling eggs.
Oh, really? No,
like,
I haven't.
He is equally obsessed with it.
He's my best convert.
He is.
I got you one too. Have you been using yours?
I have not used it yet. But I did read the instructions, so I'm on my way.
But, it's funny because I said to Mom, I was like, maybe Elizabeth just wants to buy her eggs already hard boiled, And she's like, yeah, or maybe she'd like the thing. And I was like, yeah, well, I'll get her the thing for Christmas, but it's okay if you don't use it.
No, I want to do it. As with many things, it's my fantasy self makes seven hard boiled eggs at once. We'll see if my real self follows through. Thank you, everyone, for sending in your stories. It's, I mean, this is why we do it, Gretch.
No, the whole point of the show is it's to make make things better than before, to have a before and after, to have ideas for
to get happier. might I say?
Yes. Yes, how to be happier. And so it's just thrilling and fascinating to hear how people have taken these ideas and run with them and what the effect has been in their own life. So it's just, I mean, and we got so many great ones. I mean, we talked about some here, but there are so many more, and we read all of them and talk about them amongst ourselves. And it's so fantastic to hear from listeners about what works for them.
So, Gretch, shall we talk about some of our favorite moments from the last year?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can't have an anniversary show without the top moments. What are some of your top moments?
Well, I have to say one that I just got such a kick out of, and it's all about me, so forgive me, is the woman who sent in the detailed analysis of my voice when I was sort of saying that, you know, people were complaining about my voice. And she said, here's what your voice, the qualities of your voice, and, you know, here's how it could change, and let me know if you want me to help you. And I don't know, I just got such a kick out of it, and I appreciated her offer of help. So that was one of my favorites.
Well, and she was so knowledgeable. I mean, she had those incredible credentials.
I think she had a master's, yeah, in voice. Gretch, what about you? Do you have a moment that sticks out?
Oh, I mean, I definitely have a favorite episode. The entire episode where we went and cleaned your closet when we recorded it live from your closet in Encino. That was our first very special episode too.
Yeah, and you know what my favorite moment of that episode was? The montage Henry did about my shoes. I think it was all the shoes that I wouldn't part with. One of my other favorite moments, of course, was having Eliza on. That was another very special episode where we interviewed Eliza. And I felt like I got a totally different perspective on her. And it was just really interesting to hear. And then the really great thing that came out of it was that she asked listeners for advice that they would give to themselves when they were 16. And we got just incredible advice, and it just poured in.
Yeah, no, and she's still getting responses to it. And I think it's been really helpful to her.
And we inspired her to start her own podcast, Eliza Starting at 16, which I must recommend because I think she's just so great. I love hearing her point of view.
I know, I'm her mother, so what can I say? I think it's good.
By the way, Gretchen, when I was ruminating about my favorite moments, you and I were, I think, talking about Barnaby, and I just have to add that I must talk about Blackjack, our cat, because Jack heard me mention Barnaby, and he came running over and he said, "You can't talk about Barnaby on the podcast unless you talk about Blackjack, because I don't want him to feel left out." So. Yeah. Here's my shout out to our cat, Blackjack.
Yes, Jack could not have been more adamant about that. It was like the FCC equal time rules. He's like, you know what? If one candidate gets a mention, the other candidate's got to get equal time.
Yeah. 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 So hey, Blackjack.
Hey, Blackjack. So, Henry, do you have a favorite moment?
I do, guys. I brought two, one of each of you, because I don't know if I've ever told you this, but me and Laura, who's our managing producer, have this slang we use, classic Gretch and classic Liz, when we hear moments. And I'm really trying to get these hashtags trending. So like when we hear like a classic Gretch moment and a classic Liz moment, you can...
Oh, I'm kind of terrified to hear this, Elizabeth.
So I'm going to play... They come from a place of love. I hope you guys like them. I'll start with my classic Liz moment here.
I think this is a great idea. It's something I could really use because I have so many of those tasks that I don't even think of them as tasks. I just think of them as things that will never happen. Like the light bulb in our bathroom. I mean, it's been out probably 2.5 years. I mean, it just wouldn't even occur to me to do it, you know? And I think,
That was the first time I noticed what a classic Liz moment was. You said like it would never occur to you to change a light bulb. I think it's a perfect example of like what you add to the show, which is like you're willing to like talk about your flaws. I mean, you live in Hollywood, like the most glamorous town ever, but the show would not be relatable if you were not able to throw these like perfect examples out. And I think it's hilarious. I also realized I had a light bulb out when you said that. Like, and I think that adds a lot of value to the show. So classic Liz.
Well, thanks, Henry. Luckily I have plenty of those moments to share with the world.
Okay, so here's my classic Gretsch moment.
Oh my gosh, what is it? In his old job, my husband would often bring home papers in these kind of envelope sleeves. And so let me describe to you what this is. It's two pieces of clear plastic, letter-sized plastic, that are sealed on two sides. And so it's open on two sides, so you can slip papers in. It has a little notch for your thumb, so you can easily pull out the papers. And he would just throw these away because he'd bring them home constantly. And of course, I'm such an underbuyer that I would like pluck them out of the trash and put them in a pile in my office. But few things, I do love office supplies, as you know.
Yes,
it's one of the things. It's one of the few things I really love to buy is office supplies. And this is like the office supply that I love more than anything because I don't know if other people have like.
Okay, I'm going to cut it off there.
Oh my gosh, I sound like the most trivial minded person in the universe. And the sad thing, it is absolutely true that.
I love the detailed description of the plastic sleeve. That is, you really brought it to life. It was very vivid description.
This is when I first learned that Gretchen loves office supplies, which is like a classic Gretchen trait to have, but also like she has so much joy. And so this is another thing that I think makes the show special is like what other show would talk about how much they love a plastic sheet in Gretchen's
home. Yeah, here I am in the studio waving my plastic sheet in front of Henry because I have a special plastic sheet that is dedicated to podcast papers.
Of course you
there
do.
You go.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
Like it combines so many things. It's like it solves a really specific problem, which is great. And it goes on something so specific. Like, no issue is too small for this show to discuss, which I think is great. And also, it's like genuine enthusiasm. Like, you're so pumped about it. That's awesome. So that's a classic Gretsch moment. And guys, please get those hashtags trending. I want to see people to tag you in those.
I love that you call us Liz and Gretsch, too. That's because, like, because
he's family.
Yeah, yeah. You and Elizabeth are the only people who call me Gretsch regularly. Well, and Jamie, too. There you go.
Well, happy anniversary, guys.
Oh, thank you. Well, happy anniversary to you. Oh, my gosh. I am like wiping the tears from my eyes. Seriously.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, Gretch, you are up with a happiness demerit, or your anniversary demerit.
My anniversary demerit. This relates to a project that I'm doing with a friend of mine. I have a friend who is super creative. Like, she's the kind of person who can make her own clothes, and she has a whole, like, closet that's full of arts and crafts supplies. She's super imaginative. And several years back, we did this amazing thing together. We created this book using photographs of our children and this kind of elaborate skeleton of a story that we called Four to Llewellyn's Edge. And in the show notes, I'll put a link to a post where I write about Four to Llewellyn's Edge and what that whole thing was. Anyway, it was this amazing project. We had so much fun with it.
Yeah, I love that book you made. Yeah, it's so cool.
It's so cool. It was inspired by J.M. Barrie, which is why it's called Llewellyn's Edge. And anyway, it was amazing. So, but when we did that, our youngest children, Eleanor and her youngest daughter, were too little to really participate because they were sort of on the edge of things, but they were too little. So we wanted to do another one that just featured these two girls. And it's called The Report to the Committee on Exploration is the name of this project. And we got like halfway through, then it was Thanksgiving, and we have done nothing since. And it's really on me to say, like, we need to meet, we need to get back into the groove, we need to make a schedule, we need to like go through the pictures we've already taken and take them out. And I just, weekend after weekend, I just postpone it. And I know that once we got in, it's one of those things that once you're in it, it's not as hard, but if you stop, it's really hard to get back into it. So we shouldn't have allowed ourselves to stop, even for the holidays. We should have tried to somehow keep it going. But I really don't want this to stall out. So I need to just commit to it. But it seems like every weekend there's something like, Jamie had back surgery, or I'm out of town, or, you know, it's Eleanor's birthday party, whatever. But I'm like, I need to just say there is no excuse. It has to happen because I really want this project. I love our other project so much. It's definitely one of the highlights of my life as a mother and my life as a writer. I'm so proud of it.
Well, let me just say, Gretch,
yeah.
Put it on the schedule, strategy of scheduling.
Okay, you know, why
just
did I not think of that?
Get it on the schedule.
Yes, I should, even if it has to be 3 weeks from now, I should just say,
yes,
I should just
get
email
it on
her.
The schedule, and then it'll be there, and then something else won't. Yeah. Pop up in its place because it'll already be there.
100%. I'm just writing myself a note right now. I'm going to do that. That is the answer.
Okay.
Okay. So you get a gold star for that. Absolutely. I mean, that's such an obvious solution. That is the answer. I will do that the minute I have my calendar in front of me because I do
I'm
have my...
I'm learning from you. So now I can give you your own advice.
That's right. Good. Now you're going to be my happiness bully.
Exactly.
So you get a gold star, but and who are you giving a gold star to?
I want to give a gold star to Adam's parents, my in-laws, Bill and Ramona, because they're, first of all, they're great people. But in this case, the gold star is for the fact that they live close, but not that close. So it's kind of a hassle to get to us. It's like, you know, 45 minutes, let's say. But they're the kind of people where Adam and I sort of suddenly had to do something like all day on Saturday and we didn't have a babysitter. And it's like Adam called them and he's like, you know, can you come over here at 8 a.m. on Saturday and stay with Jack the entire day? And they both were sick and they just didn't hesitate. They're like, of course, we'll be there. They showed up right on time, happy to be there. And it's like they always come through. Like when you need something, they're always there. Which our parents obviously would be also, but they're just not in Kansas City. I mean, they're in Kansas City. So just like they can't come over and babysit all day. And it's just so comforting and reassuring to know that we kind of have that backup. And of course, it's always great for Jack to see them. And they would do anything for us. So it's just a gold star to them for like showing up and being enthusiastic and never making us feel like we're putting them out, even if we are. You know, it's nice to have that kind of support system.
Cause you know, and I think you make an important distinction cause it's not just doing it. It's like doing it kind of unquestioningly and automatically. So you just have that comfort that like, I don't have to explain myself. I don't have to have like, it doesn't have to be a big drama. It's like, if I'm at a place where I need to ask for that help, I know that I can get it sort of without a lot of,
and they want to do it.
Yes.
They, you know, it's just that. And
yes.
So it's like they don't make you feel like, oh, well, here we are. And you have to like,
rolling their eyes,
feel guilty about it. They couldn't be more generous with their time.
Oh, that's so nice. Gold star.
So gold star.
Excellent. And that is it for this special 1 year anniversary of Happier. Pick from our medley of Try This at Home possibilities. Which one did you try? Which one have you tried? We love to hear about people's experiences with Try This at Home. So let us hear from you.
Thank you to Andy Bowers for suggesting that Gretchen do a podcast and then letting me do it with her. Thanks, Andy. Thank you to Laura Mayer for being there from the beginning. Yay, Laura. And, of course, huge thank you to Henry Malofsky for everything he does to make the show great. And we love to see people taking photos of him in a live show. That was very gratifying.
And we love that Henry takes out all of our likes and ums and wells. Like, after the live show, that was great to hear the outtakes. Yes.
And, of course, Scratch, biggest thanks goes to our listeners. It's been such a great year. Thanks, everyone, for, you know, making this work.
Yeah. No, and for listening and also for calling in, writing in, because part of what makes this show so fun for us is this sense of engagement and like constantly learning and hearing from people about all these great strategies they've come up with, all these things that they're doing. It's been better than I could possibly have dreamed.
Gretchen's on Twitter at Gretchen Rubin and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft. Our email address is podcast@gretchenrubin.com.
Now, and in honor of our anniversary, it would be great. We're going to ask something of you listeners. Please rate or review us on iTunes. That really helps us a lot. It really helps new listeners to find the show. And so if you take a minute and do that, that is a really big thing that helps us.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward.
This podcast is part of the Panoply Network. Check out our entire roster of podcasts at itunes.com/panoply.
I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for ways for my son to get involved and give back in our local community. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Student Visionaries of the Year, a campaign by Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, the largest nonprofit organization dedicated to creating a world without blood cancers.
Student Visionaries of the Year is a 7-week philanthropic leadership development program for high school students. Participants form strong teams and fundraise in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. This program is transformative. It not only helps students develop valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship, not to mention it looks great on college applications, but most importantly, is also a chance for them to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on blood cancer patients and their families. You can learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or even nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students.